Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, so I have to admit that this last week I've probably had a little bit too much fun preparing for today. And not just me, but maybe some of us in the office. The very last thing that Jesus says in this gospel that we just heard is for, and what we focused on in the Kids in Christ time, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And here's a little bit of free word association. Where do you think my mind went over and over again anytime I thought about treasure? Word association, anyone? Treasure? Gold? I heard somebody over here say it. Nobody's going to admit it now. You got it. Arg, pirates. Fisher, I thought for sure you'd get that. So I have to say, first of all, a little bit of a disclaimer that not all pirates wear eye patches. So don't, if you see pirates, don't give them a hard time if they're not wearing an eye patch. And maybe more importantly, not all people who wear eye patches are pirates. So be very careful. No, there are many people who have to wear eye patches, right, for medical reasons or whatever. But this image of the eye patch that I kept coming back to with a pirate sometimes wearing the eye patch is just a symbol, I think, of what happens when we become so focused on exactly the wrong treasure. I don't know. For me right now, I am having a hard time with this because I'm trying to focus on you and I'm trying to focus on the word up here, and this is really bad. So I am having a hard time focusing in the right direction. So I'm going to take this off. Point has been made. But Jesus talks about both treasure and the heart. So I have another image for you. Arg, this is where me treasure is. Now where did I put me heart? Our hearts symbolize our deepest love. Our greatest priorities in life, where we put our faith and our ultimate concern. And here's the thing. With Jesus, we won't truly lose our hearts. Now, sometimes it may feel like it. Our hearts might be misdirected or misguided, or they might go off the beaten path, so to speak. But with God, our hearts are never truly lost. Because God promises to always be with us, even when our hearts might stray. And to find where our hearts roam, we only have to look as far as our treasure. Misguided as it might be, or right in line with what God wants for us. But notice that Jesus, in today's text, did not say, "Where your heart is, there will be your treasure also." I think that this is very intentional. We might think that if our hearts are just in the right place, that our treasure will follow, whatever our treasure might be. But Jesus doesn't say that, because I think even with the best of intentions, Jesus knows our hearts better than that. So instead, he says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Honestly, it's easier to control our treasure than our hearts. You may not think so all the time. We just think that it's the treasure that's the problem. For as an example, you know, one of the often misquoted verses in Scripture is from 1 Timothy. Many times people think that 1 Timothy chapter 6 says something like, "Money is the root of all evil." Not money is the root of all evil, but it is actually the love of money that is the root of all evil. See, Jesus knows this. Not just money, but the love of all treasure, of all earthly treasure, is the root of all evil. He knows that our hearts are fickle, that they're easily swayed this way and that they're easily attracted to all kinds of earthly treasures. But by encouraging us to think about how we use our treasure and where we put it, Jesus is encouraging us to move forward in life with both eyes open, so to speak, the eyes of our hearts. Jesus is encouraging us to form good habits of the heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where do you think your treasure is? Where is your heart? See, storing up treasure is very much can be a statement of faith, more so than any words that we might say, even words that we say here in worship. We all either store up treasure of one kind or another, or we end up spending an inordinate amount of time searching for the right treasure in life. The treasure that's going to make us happy, the treasure that will make us complete, the treasure that will solve all problems. But if we don't use our treasure in the right way, we almost always come up empty. Whether we want to admit it or not, our hearts are tied to our treasure. And a few weeks ago, two Sundays ago, actually in between the services, we invited all who wanted to come and hear about the proposed budget for 2015, this congregation's budget, to come and take a look at it and ask questions before the annual meeting that was going to be the following week. Now, I started this conversation by saying something like, if any of you would let me look at your checkbook or your bank statement, I will tell you a lot about you. Anybody brave enough? No, I'm not going to make you do that. But I can tell you a lot about you. I can tell you about your priorities, about what's important to you, just generally who you are by looking at your bank statement. In a way, I could tell where your heart is. And you could say the same thing about this congregation's budget. We hope, we pray that our budget tells where our heart is as a congregation. We hope and pray that it tells a story about our faith in God, about our priorities, about our desire to be a part of God's kingdom come and God's will be done. We hope that the budget tells where, as a community, our collective heart is. Honestly, God doesn't care about our money, but we do. So what does your own checkbook or your own bank statement say about your priorities? What does it say about where your heart follows? Don't want you to focus only on this, because it's not just about money where our heart is. We have all kinds of treasures that we have in life. And sometimes our greatest treasure, it might be our relationships. It might be our time. The scripture that we heard today may have seemed like a string of several unrelated but wise sayings of Jesus. He talks about prayer, he talks about fasting, and he talks about what we do with our treasure. But if you were to read back through all of this, that scripture that we just read, with these last few verses in mind, ending with this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, if you were to read back through the scriptures now, you could see that I think Jesus is saying that even with prayer and fasting, he's still talking about our greatest treasure. He's still talking about where our hearts are. So here he is, Jesus, inviting his disciples, both then and today. He's inviting us into a life where we can create habits that focus on us in on our greatest treasure. Not necessarily and not just our treasures here on earth, but especially our treasure in heaven, as he says it. That we would focus on our treasure in heaven before we ever focus on any earthly treasure. Here's Jesus inviting us into a life of integrity. where our actions and our words meet up, a life that's lived with this primary focus on the love and generosity of God first, a generous God of abundant blessings who promises to care for us before we ever focus on leaning too much, leaning too strongly, trusting in our earthly treasures. There are many habits that can either betray or support our faith when we have a hard time trusting in God, or when we focus on ourselves and our own needs before we turn to God. Jesus names some of them, appearing pious, appearing as if we have it all together in faith, gathering and collecting shiny new things, striving after wealth at any cost. These habits betray our relationship to God, and they undermine God's call for us to live a full and meaningful life. They undermine our trust in this generous God. These habits show that perhaps our heart is in the wrong place. But Jesus encourages us to create other habits, habits that would support us in faith, trusting in our treasure in heaven rather than leaning on those earthly treasures. And so he says, don't pray just by heaping up a bunch of pointless, empty words. And I would actually gather to think that he would go the other way as well. Don't think you can't pray because you don't have the words. Don't fast or do any kind of other spiritual practices like the hypocrites do, doing whatever it is that you might do just simply to show everyone else how faithful you are. Don't store up treasures that you may not even be able to use. Instead, store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then this is where it comes. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus, with all of these things, with the way we pray, with the way we enter into any other spiritual disciplines, we heard about obeying God in the Kids in Christ time, or perhaps it's studying and reading the Bible, whatever it may be. All of these things are about helping us to create habits of the heart, to store up treasures in heaven. And we do this by creating those habits that are directed to God first, helping us to remind us of a God who loves us so much, he put on flesh and lived among us. He died on the cross for our sake and raised to new life so that we can live in new life. One habit, there are different habits that we can create. One habit is perhaps about being intentional about how we use our treasures, where we use them, being intentional about to use them as God would have us use them, knowing that wherever we might place our treasure, our hearts are sure to follow, or knowing that whatever treasure we are pursuing, our hearts are certainly to follow. Another habit, of course, is through prayer and spiritual disciplines. Now we know, I hear often that people do have a hard time praying. You may not know how, you may not feel comfortable, like you don't have the right words sometimes, but Jesus teaches us how to pray, and that's why nestled in this text, I think Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. And he gives what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus isn't telling us just to say these words. Remember, he said, don't heap up empty words. But Jesus is telling us, if you're focusing on those words, really focus on what they mean for you. But otherwise, take each of those lines, and even Luther would say, you know, if I get stuck on one line in a day, I have prayed as I should, as I ought. To really focus on our prayers and not worry about the beautiful language or the right words, but to focus on a relationship with God. In prayer, we focus on our heavenly treasure, asking God to help us to be a part of God's kingdom here, wherever it may be needed most. Asking God to help us be a part of it and placing us, helping us to see that where we are is exactly where God needs us to be. All so that God's will be done, which is really all about filling up our hearts with that heavenly treasure. A treasure of God's perfect love, a treasure of relationship with God, which leads us into relationship with others, a treasure that sees value in ourselves and in others, even when maybe they or we don't see any value here on earth in ourselves. A treasure that shows us where our heart truly belongs, so that we can move forward in life with both eyes wide open and with the eyes of our hearts open to seeing God in our midst, a God of love and abundance, a God who promises to be with us in all things. Thanks be to God. Amen.